You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg. It's time to talk about food because Main Street Eats with Sue Balcom is upon us, and it's a big week.
It is a big week for eating. Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. And Sue, how do you tackle Thanksgiving week?
Well, I used to make the entire Thanksgiving dinner by myself, and I was carefully orchestrated, and you do have to start a week ahead of time. But now that I'm older and my kids all have larger houses than I do, we have to go someplace else. But I am still the designated turkey cooker because, as you know, my mother used to do her turkeys a little bit different than just roasting them or spatchcocking turkey, which I, when it's just my husband and myself and I make a small turkey, that's how I do it, which is easy and quick way to do chicken or turkey. But my mom used to take a turkey and she would cut it up like a chicken. And I remember somebody asking me, you know, you buy meat with bones in it? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how do you learn how to cut it up? And I was thinking about that just the other day. And I remember the first time I ever cut up a chicken for a barbecue in Washington State with some friends of mine. And I just had been watching my mom all those years. It helps to have a very sharp knife because turkeys, of course, are larger. And you never want to throw away any of the backbone or the neck or the parts that people don't eat nowadays. You want to save those for the best turkey stock on the planet, which you can do after the holidays. My mom used to eat the turkey neck. It's a fairly good piece of meat, but you have to do a lot of sucking on it and get the meat out, and it's not very pleasant at the table. So we don't do that anymore. But I cut it up, and I mix salt and brown sugar and water together, you know, not very much. Probably, well, I'd say, well, if you're looking at a big, I usually marinate this turkey in a great big stock pot. And so probably cover the turkey parts as you lay them in there with the water. And then, you know, probably a cup of brown sugar and a half a cup of salt to a large stock pot and let that marinate overnight or even maybe 2 days in the refrigerator is fine. And, you know, if you're cooking a big meal, you have to be prepared. You have to, like, make your pie crust and put it in the freezer until you bake your pumpkin pies and you cut your turkey up and marinate it. And my mom would peel her potatoes a day ahead of time and let them sit in water in the refrigerator and then bring them out and boil them. And she was very organized. But the day of, you want to take your turkey parts out and rinse them off, because if you don't, it's going to be quite salty and you don't want that. And then you roll them in Bisquit. And I don't know why she chose Bisquit to do this, and brown them in a pan, and then you put them in the oven in the roaster, and it is to die for. That
sounds
turkey
fantastic.
Is moist. It's, oh my gosh, it's already cut up. So you just lay that roaster in the middle of the table, and what I do is I disguise the white meat in little chunks so I'm the only one that can find it. but your white meat is tender because of the brining that you do.
I'm going to try this because all my life I've been roasting whole turkeys, and I've been always putting it off till too late to do the spatchcock thing because it takes a pretty hefty set of shears to get through a turkey backbone. But the idea of doing, you know, you don't have to carve it at the table. You don't have to do all of that other stuff. And the, you know, dark meat and white meat cooks differently. So this is a brilliant idea that Doug is going to use.
Yay. I'm glad because that's why they asked me to do the turkey, because I'm the one that knows how to cut up a turkey like that. So, but it is, it's perfect. And, you know, it's totable. Our church has those roaster pans that we use when we serve large meals, and I can borrow one of those, put that turkey in there and transport it, plug it in, keep it warm. It is just fabulous. The only downfall is kind of got to do the dressing, the stuffing on the side, which it works
for me. I always do anyway. Yeah. I don't
right,
stuff a
because
turkey.
If you make a large amount, there ain't a turkey in the world that can hold all the stuffing my family eats.
Mine either.
Yeah. Do you put liver, chopped up liver, in your stuffing when you make it?
Sometimes I do. My son likes it, and he likes sausage. I make a couple of different stuffings, actually, because people's tastes vary a little bit, and I like to play with it.
I use a little bit of hamburger. That's what my mom used to use, and that's what my kids like. But the liver, if you have the whole turkey parts there and gizzard, you can cut that up and brown it with lots of onions and add that to your stuffing. Then you just put that in a casserole dish. I cook it covered for a while, and then I uncover it because I like it when it's really crispy. And if you love gravy, you can take that neck and whatever skin and other parts, the backbone and stuff that you probably wouldn't cook with your turkey if you cut it up, and you put that in your pressure cooker, cook it for 20 minutes, and then you have the starts of some really good gravy. You know, you can brown some onion, or you can brown some flour, and you can add that stock to the flour. You can add a can of cream of something soup if you wish to make it a little bit thicker, a little bit of kitchen bouquet, a little Worcestershire, and manufacture yourself a really good gravy. Now, here is something that I just learned probably about a year ago, is that when you're making gravy or anything that you're making out of pan drippings with a little fat in it, if you take a half a lemon and squeeze that into that gravy right before you serve it, you know, you don't want it to cool off, so make sure it's simmering good, and then squeeze that half a lemon in there. That little bit of citrus just brings out the flavor in a gravy like you can't believe. I love that idea. It's super cool. We can't have Thanksgiving without cranberries. And I love homemade cranberry sauce, but everybody else I know loves the stuff that comes in the shape of a can. And I'm not sure why, but I found this thing about cranberry cans, and I never noticed this before, but they're upside down. The label is put on that can upside down so that you're opening it from the bottom. Huh. And the reason is, because when they load those cans up, the air bubbles are settled at the bottom of the can, and for some reason they slide out of that can easier when you open them up upside down. I, however, try to open them up on both sides and punch it out and then slice it because I hate the can look.
Well, I discovered I discovered the regular cranberry, you know, the very simple way to just heat them up until they burst, and they're frankly my favorite way to have cranberries. My son, though, likes it out of the can. And so there are two schools of thought, and that's why you kind of got to, when you have these feasts, you've got to consider everybody's tastes.
Right. So I still make the homemade ones where you burst those little cranberries for me. If
you guys
I'm the
are
only
way
one that'll
too
eat
nice.
It.
My motto is just the finicky fast. You can cook it or you can eat it.
But you can't complain about it, right?
Yeah. If I'm going to cook it, you're going to eat it. Period. End of discussion.
Well, you know, back when we were kids, we did not have access to food outside of meals. There was no going in the kitchen rummaging for snacks. So we usually ate everything that was on the table. It was amazing. But yeah, I love cranberries. Do you put any citrus in yours, like a tiny little bit of orange or orange peel or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that really makes
juice.
It good. And then I found a recipe for apple cranberry jam that I'm making for my Christmas show in December.
That sounds delightful.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I've never had anything so good. You could just about drink that stuff right out of the jar. It's so amazing. Why do we eat turkey at Thanksgiving anyway?
Because it's good.
There was a time when you never ate turkey outside of Thanksgiving?
Well, Christmas,
you know,
we would have
kids,
it too.
My mom. Yeah, or Christmas. But that was the only time. And my mom actually raised turkeys. My grandmother raised turkeys on her farm. And they never got to eat them. They just put them on a train and shipped them out for people on the coast to eat. And so once turkeys were available year round, I cook them all the time. I always call it my practice Thanksgiving. But the turkey is a symbol of abundance and has been associated with the spirit of giving and abundance. And I'm really not sure why, because we have wild turkeys that live at our house, like about 20 of them, and they're dumb. They're really stupid birds.
They're also rude.
They are. Do you know that they'll drown themselves in a rainstorm because they'll go out in the rain and they'll look up with their beaks open and they'll drown? God. Okay, enough turkey bashing. Ben Franklin wanted turkey to be the national bird,
yeah.
But the eagle won out. But here's an interesting tidbit that I found before we let turkey slide into the Christmas holiday. You know, Thanksgiving is one of the least commercial holidays we have. You know, people aren't putting turkey lights up or turkey trees up or anything like that. Don't give them any ideas.
Sue.
Oh God, yes.
We get too many people at home during a pandemic with online shopping.
Oh gosh,
we don't need to start turkey trees.
One of the reasons that turkeys became so popular on Thanksgiving because there was this lost journal found by William Bradford, who was a pilgrim, where they had the first Thanksgiving, of course, which was kind of a celebration of harvest. And they found this and reprinted his journals. And people were like, yeah, we got to do the turkey thing for our Thanksgiving. And I think it was Abraham Lincoln that actually declared Thanksgiving a national holiday shortly after that in 1863. So we've been thankful ever since.
What are your favorite ways to use up leftovers?
Oh my gosh, turkey soup or turkey cream cheese and cranberry sandwiches.
Oh.
That is amazing.
That really good.
I like the turkey casserole where you kind of recreate the dinner in a dish. Mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey and gravy.
Oh yeah. I'm a fan of the,
with mashed potatoes and dressing.
I'm a fan of the stuffing in the waffle iron. And
ooh, that sounds great.
Like a kind of a
sandwich. I'm
going to
do that with cranberry sauce on top instead of syrup. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty. I actually learned that one from Chef Rosie, who had this segment before you, and it's a game changer.
So do you oil your waffle iron first, or do you butter it or anything like
that?
Yeah,
I do, and I end up having I got to think. I have it written down somewhere at home, and obviously it's been a year since I did this last, but I think you have to add a little egg.
To your stuffing.
Yeah. And obviously, like, you don't want to do this with, like, the fully cooked stuff. You want to use your leftover stuff.
See, and some people are mushy stuffing makers, and some of us aren't. So I suppose that would have something to do with how well that works. And I have one of those fat Belgium waffle makers that I love to make grilled cheese sandwiches on. So, but that's a story for another day.
Okay. So it's time to say happy Thanksgiving.
So let's be thankful.
Yes. We check in with Sue Belcom every week for Main Street Eats. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, guys.